The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Oh, for crying out loud. That's the Asian giant hornets in our bird feeder.
Yeah.
Come to you from the Carter Silver of Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. I'm going to be very vulnerable with you, Aaron Granillo, and with my audience today. Because the story a couple of months ago was that our bird feeders were going to cause the birds to congregate, and they were going to get the bird flu, the salmonella. And I was kind of laughing about that. I was kind of joking about that. But that turned out to be real. I'll explain why I know in a minute. And now it's the Asian giant hornets?
Apparently, yeah. That's what the agriculture department is saying, is that the hornets might be attracted to hummingbird feeders. And, of course, these hornets are coming out of hibernation right now, and we know there are at least a couple of nests that we didn't get to last time the state tried to eradicate them.
Okay. Here's the thing. So I've taken two sick days in the last six days. And the first of the two was a week ago yesterday, last Monday. And I'm pretty sure I had the bird flu. And I'm going to be really vulnerable here. I was making fun of that story when everybody was reporting it a couple of months ago. And I said, well, why don't we get the birds to wear little tiny masks if they're going to congregate at the bird feeder? And then last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, I found a dead – and my bird feeder, I've been going through sunflower chips like never before. I mean, just – I have hundreds of birds feeding off of this feeder. And a week ago Saturday, we found a dead songbird in our yard. Mm. And then on Sunday, I started to get horribly sick. And I had changed the seed in the feeder. And, you know, I always wash my hands afterwards. And then we found another dead bird on Monday. And on Monday, I was so sick. And I start looking up the symptoms. I think, and I would have done the show if I was sick, but I couldn't even think straight. And I think I had the bird flu. I think I had the salmonella from my bird feeder. It's awful.
Well, at least the hornets are really far away from us. They're in Whatcom County. So as far as we know, they have not migrated far south enough for to get you this time. As far as
we just don't need another thing to worry about. So they said, well, clean your bird feeder with water and vinegar and a little bleach and make sure you rinse all the bleach off. And I said, no, if I got the bird flu here and I got so sick, I just threw away the bird feeder, which, by the way, I had just filled with seeds. So it was quite an expense. And I've ordered another one, so I'll get a pristine one. I think it's arriving today. But that'll teach me to mock things that are reported in the news, because I just thought the whole bird flu thing was being exaggerated. And then God said, I'm going to teach you a lesson, Monson. I'm going to teach you how real this thing is. And that's why I was gone a week ago Monday. So now the Asian giant hornets are coming just as I'm ready to put my bird feeder back up.
Yeah.
How depressing. It's just depressing. All right. Appreciate it, Aaron. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Then I was gone yesterday, too. And a lot of very nice people reached out to me because they know that I don't miss work, and I've done it twice in a week. So I am now fully vaccinated. And I didn't talk about it when I was getting the shots. I just feel that some things are somewhat private. But this is one that's led me to think a lot about what's going on here. So I gave you my matrix through which I tried to evaluate these vaccines. I think there is a tiny, tiny, tiny risk of getting sick from the vaccine. I also believe that there's a tiny, tiny, tiny risk of dying from COVID. But I think at my age, the risk of dying is greater than the risk of getting vaccinated. So for me, it's a no-brainer. I'm going to get the vaccine. I got my second dose on Sunday. For my kids, I've talked to all of them, and I think that there's a tiny risk from the vaccine. And I think there is a tiny risk of the COVID for them. So I think it's kind of a wash. But my oldest daughter, she was supposed to get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine today. Then she got a text from her doctor at 6:30 this morning that the state has put a pause on all of the vaccines. Okay, so I get the second one on Sunday. And let me give a shout out. I went up to Skagit Regional Health in Arlington, Smoky Point. I don't know if I've ever met a nicer group of people than the ones. And they just had this well-oiled machine for both of my shots. So I get the second one on Sunday, but I'm waiting in line. And I heard, there were other people talking in line saying, oh, I've already taken Monday off from work. And then another guy said, oh, my boss is giving me Monday and Tuesday off. And I'm thinking to myself, how wimpy have we gotten? And I was talking to someone last week, and I said, I'm getting my second shot on Sunday. And they said, oh, are you taking Monday off? And I said, no. I go, I'm not going to get sick from a vaccine. And they said, oh, who are you, Superman? I said, no, I just believe in the power of positive thinking. And if I go into this certain that I'm not going to get sick from it, I have a better chance of not getting sick from it. If I go in certain I'm going to get sick, I'll probably get sick. Well, there is a third one. I went in positive I wasn't going to get sick, and then it just kicked my butt. So Sunday night, I'm sick. It's kind of everything I'd heard about the second dose of the Moderna, which is what I got. I'm sick. And I'm still planning on working on Monday. So I go to bed. I sleep about 8 hours, which is really good for me. And I wake up at 7:30 yesterday morning, ready to do show prep. And I'm sitting downstairs, got my laptop on my chest, and I'm doing show prep. And I discover that I'm falling asleep every 3 minutes while trying to do show prep. And I could not stay awake. And I thought, well, maybe I can't do the show today. So I called our PD, and he said, we'll get somebody else for you. That's fine. So I went and I slept for 4 hours, got up, took a bath. Then I went back to sleep for 2 hours, got up for about 3 hours, and then I went back to sleep for 12 hours. So I figured it out. I had a 33-hour stretch where I slept 26 of the 33 hours. Now, people who know me realize that 26 hours of sleep, that's usually about a week's worth for me. 3.5 hours a night, that's it's about a week's worth. But I did that just in, you know, between Sunday night and this morning. And I say all of this because, yeah, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I still think, I hope. And what this did to me, if I got this sick from a little vaccine being pushed into my arm, I truly think the COVID, if I got COVID, I truly think it would have killed me. I was shocked at how sick I got. Now, my daughters, like I said, I'm not afraid of them getting COVID. I think they'll do fine if they get the vaccine. And I think most of them are choosing to get the vaccine. But I bring all of this up because, as you've heard, the State Department of Health, they put a pause today on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, that's the one-shot vaccine. That's the one my oldest daughter was going to get today. And Dr. Umir Shah, State Health, talked about what they're doing.
I don't think it's going to be devastating because J&J has been such a small a percentage, if you will, of our vaccine supply. It's really been Moderna and Pfizer. It's been the vast majority, I would say 90% of our vaccine supply has been those two vaccines, if not more. And so I think from that standpoint, supply-wise, it's not going to be devastating. We were already expecting, remember, there were some production issues a couple of weeks back. We were already expecting a lower number of doses that were going to be coming into the state. So from that standpoint, I think it's okay. But one concern that I have, obviously, is I don't want the message to go out that vaccines are not safe or they're not effective. And from that standpoint, we need to all make sure that we put this all in context. Again, 6.8 million vaccines were administered with J&J, and only six cases of this rare blood clot has been reported. Again, it's a pause, not a stop. So we just need to keep the context in mind.
Okay. So again, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but based on my personal experience, I did let them convince me that it'd be worthwhile for me to push a vaccine that's been more lightly vetted than any vaccine in history. And I let them push that into my arm twice. And I got sick as a dog the last 48 hours. And so would I still get the vaccine? Yeah, I think so. But I never dreamed that that would happen to me, just because I tend to be a very positive thinker, especially on health issues, because I just tend to not get sick. So as I've said, I think everybody needs to make up their own mind. We're going to talk at the bottom of the hour. There are some people who still think we should get a vaccine passport. If you want to go to a sporting event or a concert or maybe even a restaurant, you'll have to show a passport that you have been vaccinated. I think mandating these vaccinations is insane. I think people not wanting to get it certainly make as much sense as me wanting to get it. And so we'll tell you more about the vaccine passport coming on at the bottom of the hour. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
As you know, the shooting near Minneapolis two nights ago, it is just another horrible tragedy. And once again, Minneapolis is burning two nights in a row of pretty violent rioting. And here's what went down. You know the story by now. The suspect in the shooting, he had expired tabs. Once the police pulled him over, they discovered that he had a previous warrant for having an unregistered gun. So the police are dealing with it with the utmost caution. And then as they bring him out of the car, a big black cop is going to handcuff him. And he can feel the suspect tensing up like he's going to try to break away. And the cops, they know that. I mean, they know that you start to tense up before you try to make a break. And so he says, don't do that, don't do that. And then the guy makes a run for his car, and that's when a 25-year veteran of the force, a female cop, she pulled out what she thought was her taser, and she fired one shot. She says, accidentally. Here's how it went down. Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, S word. I shot him. Now, she had yelled taser, 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 because they're trained to do that. You let your fellow officers know before you deploy the taser so that they aren't in the, you know, between the suspect and the tongs on the taser. Now, I truly believe that a cop who accidentally shoots somebody and takes their life, the somebody in this case is 20-year-old Dante Wright, I don't think that person should be a cop. And in fact, I'll tell you the breaking news in just a moment. But I don't think she should be a cop. As I understand it, cops have their gun on their belt on their dominant hand side. So if you're right-handed, your gun is on the right side of your belt. If you are right-handed, your taser will therefore be on the left side of your belt. Just for this reason, you're supposed to know exactly where your gun is, where your taser is. You're not supposed to accidentally fire a bullet that kills somebody if you're trying to tase that person. And so the officer, as I said, she was a 25-year veteran, and she was immediately put on leave, of course. Interesting thing. The mayor immediately said she should be fired. The city manager said, well, no, she deserves due process. And for saying that, the city manager got fired. Now, I believe if you are so reckless in knowing what is a gun versus a taser, I don't think you're fit to be a cop. But I also believe that every American deserves due process. And to fire a city manager just because he says he believes she deserves due process just shows that we are moving out of control and away from the Constitution. Because if you don't get due process when you're accused of a crime, then our Constitution doesn't matter. Okay, now we do have some breaking news that is coming in this hour on this. That's next up here in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Breaking news.
A 25-year veteran female cop, Kim Potter, she has, just in the last couple hours, has resigned from her position as a police officer with the city of Brooklyn Center. And the police chief there, Tim Gannon, has also resigned from his position. A release from Law Enforcement Labor Services that represents the cops said that Potter submitted her resignation to city staff. And in it, she said, it's very brief. I am tendering my resignation from the Brooklyn Center Police Department effective immediately. I've loved every minute of being a police officer and serving this community to the best of my ability. But I believe it is in the best interest of the community, the department, and my fellow officers if I resign immediately. Now, the next question is going to be, is that a criminal offense? Should that cop be thrown in prison? You know, just as Derek Chauvin is on trial right now for murder of George Floyd. What this cop did, it certainly appears to be an accident. I believe that her resignation is appropriate. I think that there are too many people who are just agitating for violence. You know, they say that he was shot and killed because he had expired tabs. Well, no, that is not why Dante Wright was shot and killed. He was pulled over for expired tabs. He had a warrant for having a gun previously. And then he tried to break away as the cops were trying to handcuff him. I mean, that's a chain of events. And certainly that does not deserve the death penalty. And nobody is saying that. But he didn't die because he had expired tabs. He died because of a myriad of other reasons that he was a part of. But I think the cop should resign. I think that's appropriate. I don't think she can be trusted with deadly force. Then the question becomes, I'd like to hear your thoughts. Criminal offense, think the cop should be charged just as Derek Chauvin is being charged in neighboring Minneapolis? Let me know what you think. Text me at 98973. What I do know is that here in Seattle, there were buildings that were looted again last night, windows that were smashed, supposedly in support of Dante Wright. I do not know how smashing the windows of a Starbucks on Fifth Avenue in Seattle shows support for a young man who was killed in Brooklyn Heights, Minnesota. But we are seeing, once again, a lot of people agitating for violence to erupt across America. We'll watch it with great interest and report on it honestly. And that is your Big Lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, so what do you think? I qualify now for a vaccine passport, but I still think it is a horrible idea. Nobody should be coerced into getting a vaccine they don't want just so they can go to a concert or a ball game. But that is still being talked about. And I'm going to talk to a state rep who's trying to head it off at the pass. Do that next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we've been telling you, there are an awful lot of people who are pushing for what's called a vaccine passport. in an effort to get us back to normal. If you want to go to a Seahawks or Mariners game, to a concert, to any gathering, you would have to show that you have been vaccinated. This sounds so fundamentally un-American to me. And apparently it does as well to State Representative Jim Walsh, who has introduced a bill that would prohibit vaccine passports in Washington. And Representative Walsh joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Good to talk with you. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
Oh, it's good to talk again, Dory. It's been a little while. Yeah,
yes,
I think we sort of caught a tiger by the tail here on this issue. It's a hot one. People are very interested in this.
Well, and the proponents of the vaccine passport, I have heard them say that this could be that carrot that's dangling so that more people will choose to get vaccinated who otherwise might not, because if they want to get back to normal life, if they want to go to a restaurant or a concert or a ball game, they're going to have to show their vaccine passport. And man, that kind of coercion by our government just seems so fundamentally wrong to me.
Agreed. They're going to have to find a different carrot. This one won't work. The bill I put together, really, it was a bill I introduced kind of late in the session in Olympia. Didn't intend for it to become a big deal now. It was kind of laying the groundwork for what I hoped would be some hearings and a discussion later this year or even next year. But the timing just seems to be right, because the discussion around this terrible idea has increased since I dropped this bill recently. What the bill does is it says that in the state of Washington, no public entity, no state agency, no local agency can require paperwork or a proof of a vaccination of COVID or any related virus for admission to any public space or any privately owned space that is open to the public. And we use some public accommodation language already in state law to define those public spaces where you can't restrict access for want of paperwork.
Well, let me make sure I understand that. So no public entity could force the vaccine passports, meaning the state of Washington, King County, the city of Seattle, but could a private entity still force that? Could a concert promoter say the only way you're going to get into the show is if you show a vaccine passport?
Not if the venue, not if the space is generally open to the public. We took the language from a recent Senate bill that restricted open carry that applies to public spaces that may be privately owned, and we use it here. So at a venue that's open to the public, they can't demand papers. But in a private home that isn't usually open to the public, or at a business that isn't usually open to the public, a private office environment, there they could do it. But in a venue that's generally open to the public, that's a public accommodation,
okay,
they could not demand papers, and no public law enforcement could enforce such a demand.
How do you personally feel about a vaccine? Have you gotten one, or are you going to get one?
I have not. I may get one. I think that's an individual choice, and I don't think any of us should criticize or judge our neighbors one way or the other, what they choose. I think it's an individual health choice. And I think everyone needs to do what's right for them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I got my second Moderna vaccine on Sunday. And I was really cocky, Representative. I said, it's not going to make me sick. Everybody said, oh, you're not going to be able to work on Monday. And I said, get out of here. I'm not going to get sick from a little tiny vaccine. It kicked my butt. And I was I slept 23 out of 36 hours. I think I'm still glad I got it, but I certainly wouldn't fault somebody if they made the decision for themselves that I'm not going to let somebody inject something into me that could make me that sick. And especially if you're a younger person and COVID is not a high risk for, you know, a healthy 25, 35 year old, I wouldn't fault them for not getting the vaccine.
Exactly. And family situation sometimes factors in who your family is and what their vulnerabilities are. So it's such a complicated equation. I just don't think anybody should judge or cast aspersions against anybody else for what they decide to do, either to take the shot or not take the shot.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, I think I'm being very fair about this, because even though I could show a vaccine passport now and my wife could, you know, my three daughters, I'm not sure. I think two or all three, maybe we'll get the vaccine. It's up to them. I've talked to them about all of it. But again, I agree with you. I'm really scared at where we're headed, Representative. I'm scared at the erosion of our rights. I'm scared that some things that we consider to be just foundational principles in our country are being cast away, mainly out of fear. And, you know, much of it is irrational fear. And man, I think it is scary that there are some people who want to take advantage of that.
We can't let fear or any emotion define our public policy and erode our foundational rights. I mean, this country was founded on the idea that reason and fundamental liberties are what should drive what a government does, and mostly limit what a government does.
Right.
And we're losing that thread. And I'm hoping, Tori, that there is a silver lining to all this, that all of this overreaction, all of this erosion of rights is going to reawaken in people the understanding, the appreciation for the foundational rights that built this state and built this country. So I'm optimistic in the long run. It just may be some choppy flying between here and there.
Yeah, well, it's going to do one of two things. It's either going to, as you say, reawaken in us our desire for freedom, or it's going to just beat us into submission. And I'm not sure which is going to win out at this point, and that's what frightens me.
Well, we're Washingtonians and we're Americans, Dory.
Okay.
I think it's going to be good in the end. I think it's going to reawaken that appreciation. I really do.
All right. Well, I appreciate what you're doing with this bill. And so it's probably doesn't have a chance this session, but you'll bring it back in the next session. Is that right?
Correct. We work on that 2-year cycle in Olympia. So anything we introduce now stays alive for the 2-year period, and we'll find the right place to make it stick. But Dory, I've got to tell you, it's already been effective, because people are asking the governor and his head of the State Department of Health, do they plan to use vaccine passports? And they're kind of denying it. There's a little bit of a weasel words in there, but it's already been effective, and that the question is being asked of the governor and his health bureaucrats. So it's already working a little bit.
Got it. All right. Well, I hope you're right. Representative Jim Walsh, appreciate the fight you take on for us, and thanks for coming on with me today.
Always good to talk to you, Dory.
You too. All right, Representative Jim Walsh joining us. He is fighting against the vaccine passports that so many are proposing right now. Love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Listening to Friday's show, it was right near the end of the broadcast when we got a soundbite out of Olympia from a state rep that, or state senator, I should say, that with all due respect to the senator, it was just simply one of the stupidest things I've ever heard. She was explaining why they need to jack the fuel prices up so high. You know, with the track they're on, we're going to have $5 a gallon fuel here in Washington. They want to add a tax that would make us the highest state gas tax in the country. We're number 3 right now. They want to make us number 1. They want to add a low carbon fuel standard so that those taxes would be passed on in a variety of ways to all of us. And they want to jack our taxes sky high when it comes to gas. Now, what's interesting about this is it's Democrats who are behind this. And Democrats somehow have created this illusion, this fantasy, that they're the party of the working people, of the lower class, of the people who don't have as much money. And we know. You and I know, because you listen to this show, and I certainly know this to be true, that the Democrats will squeeze every penny they can from the poor, the working class, the middle class, tradespeople, house cleaners, hotel housekeepers. They will kill those groups financially if they can. And of course, a gas tax does just that. You can't afford an electric car if you are a middle to lower income person. You probably are not working from home if you're middle to lower income. Those are jobs where you tend to have to go in, whether it's to be a, you know, a janitor, as I said, a housekeeper, a waiter, whatever the job is. You probably are not working from home if you are middle to lower class. So, what is the state of Washington going to do about this? They're going to just try to kill those people financially. But Senator June Robinson, she made a statement about why she was supporting this. If it wasn't so infuriating, it would be hilarious. But she said that she wants to destroy the poor and the working class in this state for the children.
We are doing this for the kids who live with asthma, whose parents can only afford an apartment that's close to the freeway.
Freeway? So, you know, the Valley Girl up speaking, all of that aside, we're doing this for the children. We're raising taxes on the families that can least afford a major tax hike. And you're doing it for the children in those families. Because, apparently, according to Senator June Robinson, she must have some study. I haven't seen it. I couldn't find any. That suggests that children with asthma, their parents make less money, and so they have to buy cheaper houses that are near the freeway, and that means the kids with asthma are breathing freeway exhaust or something like that. I looked for the studies, and so I reached out to Senator June Robinson. We've asked her. We asked her on Friday. We asked her yesterday before I knew I was going to be out sick. And we asked her again today, will you please come on and explain this idiotic statement? And we did get a statement from her. But again, listen to this again. And again, try to ignore the Valley Girl vocal fry and upspeak and all of that.
We are doing this for the kids who live with
the kids. Yes.
Asthma. Who's
asthma? I'm sorry. You have asthma. Okay, let's go back.
We are doing this for the kids who live with asthma, whose parents can only afford an apartment that's close to the freeway.
Is that a question or a statement, Senator? So, again, we contacted the senator's office because I would love to get her on. I would love to ask her about that. What does all this mean? Why, if you're doing it for the kids, are you jacking the taxes on their parents and their families sky high? And Chris Martin's producing today. Here's the response to our invitation. Hi, Chris. Thank you for extending this invitation! Exclamation point. They were so excited to be invited by me. Thank you for extending this invitation. Unfortunately, as we are winding down to the last few weeks of session, Senator Robinson's schedule is completely booked, and she will be unable to participate in this interview. Thank you again for reaching out! Exclamation point! If she doesn't have a 5-minute window, any time of day I can record it. Now, it's for the children. Check the news, and then the Fast 15. It's coming up next.